It was day two on Capitol Hill for General Motors CEO Mary Barra. Today it was the Senate's turn to grill Barra about GM's failure to act on ignition switch failures, a failure which has been linked to 13 deaths and prompted a recall of 2.6 million cars.
This is an extraordinary situation. It involves vehicles we no longer make. But it came to light on my watch, so it is my responsibility to resolve it.
Well, let's see how the day went. We're joined now by Washington reporter for the Detroit News, David Shepherdson. Good to have you with us back on the program, David.
Thanks for having me.
And joined by veteran auto analyst Michelle Krebs. Thanks for joining us, Michelle.
Glad to be here.
So, David, let me start with you. Did Mary Barra get a tougher questioning from senators today than she did from House members yesterday?
In a word, yes. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, the questions came fast and furious. One senator, Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire, accused the company of criminal deception. The chairman of the panel, Senator Claire McCaskill, said there was a culture of cover-up. And, you know, there wasn't a single senator from either party who defended GM or didn't subject the CEO to tough questioning. Even Senator Barbara Boxer invoked Mary Barra's gender and saying, as a woman to woman, I'm very disappointed. So it really came from all sides, and it was very tough. She looked pretty grim when she left the hearing, and unlike yesterday, she didn't answer any questions. She simply rushed into an elevator.
Do you think, Michelle, it's because the senators on the committee had a chance to kind of digest what happened yesterday with the House and decided that they were going to amp it up? What do you think was behind this?
Oh, I think so, because yesterday there was a lot of frustration afterwards that she kept saying, we have an investigation going on, I can't answer those questions. And what I felt today is there was some incredulousness about how could she possibly not know something was going on, considering all the important jobs. One senator even said, you know, you're an important person in this organization. How could you have not known something was going on? Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of discussion about, you know, criminal charges and why are the people still working there that whose names have appeared on the memos. It was, I thought, more detailed and grueling.
Well, this seems to be a fairly common theme to Mary Barra's answers to the committees yesterday and today. Let's take a quick listen here.
When we have answers, we will be fully transparent with you, with our regulators, and with our customers. While I can't turn back the clock, as soon as I learned about the problem, we acted without hesitation. We told the world we had a problem that needed to be fixed. We did so because whatever mistakes were made in the past, we will not shirk from our responsibilities now and in the future. Today's GM will do the right thing.
So let me ask both of you, and I'll start with you, David. Was that the best answer she could give them based on where things are now?
You know, Senator McCaskill told us afterward that she thought that Mary Barra had come in with a plan to basically not answer their questions. And I think she, you know, certainly got legal advice, and one of the things she certainly was trying to avoid was what would happen with Toyota. If you remember, just mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago, Toyota agreed to pay a $1.2 billion criminal fine stemming from the statements it made in 2009 and 2010, including some before Congress, where the Justice Department said Toyota had given inaccurate facts to Congress. So there's a lot of pressure on her not to answer questions that the 6 million pages or so that GM has uncovered as part of their investigation could turn up later to be untrue. But that said, you know, there are other questions that the senators said that she could have answered that she shied away from. So, you know, there was a lot of irritation about that fact that she didn't answer more questions. You know, the ranking Republican Dean Heller from Nevada said, you know, I read the transcript and I saw you didn't really answer many questions. I'm sure you're not going to do that today either. So, no, I think they also extracted from her an agreement that she will come back to the committee to answer those questions someday once the investigation is over. So they're not letting go of this anytime soon.
What were your thoughts on that kind of, you know, that was seemed to be the page from the hymnal that she was singing from, Michelle? What were your thoughts?
Well, right, and she does have to be a little bit careful because there are all these lawsuits pending. And if she, you know, something she says that may not end up being correct after the investigation is done could come back to haunt them. So I could see why she was very careful. The other thing I think we have to remember, too, that a lot of times these congressional hearings aren't just about getting to the bottom of an issue. There's a lot of grandstanding and politicking and for the audience back home on these kinds of things. And well, that's not to diminish what they're doing. They're doing important work.
But. Well, in fact, I wanted to get the thoughts of both of you on the idea of the theater or the optics for the senators and the members of Congress. And to that point, let's take a listen to this question that came from Senator Barbara Boxer of California.
Okay, and then you were a plant manager of Detroit Hamtramck Assembly in 03 to 04. Were you responsible for day-to-day plant activities related to safety, people, and quality? And still, you knew nothing about this.
We didn't build any of these models at the Detroit Hamtramck.
In that position, you knew nothing about this, correct? Okay.
So what is supposed to be accomplished with questions like these?
Well, I thought that was an interesting one, too. Two thoughts on this. I thought the women were particularly, both yesterday and today, were particularly harsh on her. I thought that was kind of interesting. The other thing, and as we've seen this in other congressional hearings on automotive topics, there isn't a lot of knowledge about the auto industry.
Yeah.
The plant manager at Detroit Hamtramck, they're in their own little world. They may not know all that's going on. I understood her point was she's got this high position, but I don't think they realize how big these auto companies are and spread out.
Yeah. It just seemed like, what was the point of that question? I mean, did you get that sense at all, David?
Oh, I felt the exact same way. I mean, what those questions showed, and yesterday, is the senators and members of Congress who are not from Michigan have no real concept of the sheer size of a company like General Motors, you know, for better or worse. I mean, these are very, you know, the auto companies are very large, very bureaucratic, and, you know, a lot of people, like Mary Barr, prior to her career, have very lofty-sounding titles, but the reality is, unless you're in a narrow silo of the company involving safety and vehicle crash worthiness or the legal department, you know, chances are you never heard about this because it's just not the type of thing that rose, as far as we know, to the level of senior management because the company did not believe that this was a significant problem. I mean, as the documents show, the company had considered a fix for the ignition switch in 2005, but said it would have cost 90 cents per switch, but only saved, you know, 10 or 15 cents per switch in reduced warranty costs. So this is simply looked as like, hey, is there a business case to improve the part? But nobody, again, as far as we know, treated this as a safety problem. And that's a real question that the company has not yet been able to answer. But certainly, you know, politics, grandstanding in Congress, I'm shocked. Shocked that the hearing wasn't all just a serious fact-finding mission, you know.
Well, let me ask both of you, when would be the time to march that engineer or that plant manager who really was hands-on in charge of the production of these involved vehicles, when's the time to march that person or those persons in front of Congress, knowing, as we've seen, Mary Barra was off, you know, tending other patches while this was evolving?
Oof, David, I don't know, and I think they absolutely have to complete that investigation because it isn't just one person, and clearly there are other people's names on the emails that were referred to, and they got to find out. To David's point, did they know this was, you know, a safety issue? What did they know? And is there just a lot to be known yet? And I think you can't build a timeline going forward yet.
I agree with Michelle. You know, these documents do look pretty bad, and the fact that this engineer reportedly did not remember signing this change in the part number, or the part in 2006, without a subsequent change in the part number seems very questionable. However, there were a lot of people involved in this. It was not just one person. And, you know, yes, GM at the time was facing, you know, very, you know, severe cost problems in 2005. You know, GM was in the middle of an endless series of plant closures and reductions in jobs. And everybody remembers how, you know, in that 4 or 5 year run-up before the bankruptcy, you know, these companies were struggling to stay alive by slashing costs. But that said, you know, and again, we need to get to the bottom and we need to see the documents to know, did somebody within GM really connect all the dots, know this was a serious safety problem, that people were dying, or did they think this was simply a customer satisfaction issue. I mean, there are a lot of things that go wrong with cars that don't get fixed. Mm-hmm. They're not recalled. I mean, these are very complicated 4,000-part machines, and especially in that era, there were more problems that were simply acceptable by the companies.
NHTSA is also in the congressional hot seat for not acting in what Congress sees as a timely manner on, what, some 260 complaints. So who was there from NHTSA, David, and how was that person treated?
So that's the acting NHTSA administrator, David Friedman, who only took over as the chief of the agency 2 months ago, and he was named the deputy a little less than a year ago. So the most difficult question they have been faced with is that in September of 2007, a senior NHTSA investigator proposed to his superiors that the agency open a formal investigation, citing the fact that they had reports of four fatal crashes of now recalled Cobalt. But the agency ultimately decided not to open a formal investigation, saying that the trend data for Cobalt problems was not much higher than the other vehicles, which is surprising given that the agency is so aggressive in opening investigations in some cases when no one's been injured or only one crash or just one complaint. Given that there was this number of fatalities, the agency has not really given us a good answer except to say that just after they made the decision not to open the investigation, the results of an individual investigation into one of these crashes came back, and it confirmed that there was a link between the non-airbag deployment and the ignition switch being in the wrong position. But by that point, they had moved on to other issues and never went back to the problem. So, the agency only has 51 people. They only spend $10 million a year on auto safety when we've got, as a country, 250 million vehicles on the road. So there's a lot of pressure in Congress that maybe the agency needs more money and perhaps more authority to do its job.
Any timetable for her return appearance on Capitol Hill?
It depends on when GM's internal investigation wraps up, which could be as soon as the next couple months.
And final few seconds, Michelle, what most should happen right now to get General Motors through this crisis and regain consumer confidence?
Well, they've got to keep on doing some of the things they've been doing. As soon as there's an issue, address it. And they've got to be in a culture that they pay close attention to this kind of thing and act quickly. They're making money now, so that's not an excuse. And if they're truly going to prove that they've changed the culture, those are the kinds of things. They have to be proactive.
Auto analyst Michelle Krebs and David Shepherdson, the Washington correspondent for the Detroit News. Always good to talk with both of you. Thank you so much today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.